Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor, and of course, good to catch up with Herman Moore, former Detroit Lion wide receiver who had such a great career, but he's also doing some great things too. Before we start talking some football and talking Lions football, talking NFL and what's going on, I mean, you got some good things going with Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. We have a big event coming up on December 26th. Can you kind of go into what's going on? Because I know you got 800 stores nationwide. What's going on with Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center?
Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center, they're continuing to give back to their community by supporting our military men and women who have served. And also this year we're including our first responders with offer of $5,000 scholarships to be used towards automotive maintenance and repair certifications. It gives them a great opportunity to make a career change if they're looking for one. It provides options for those that are looking to just make a move that's going to support their family and put them in a better position, or just move into a different career path. And with this, as tied to the Quick Lane Bowl, which you mentioned, it's on December 26th, held at Ford Field, ACC versus the Big Ten. They have up until December 7th to make the nominations. And if you're a first responder or you're a military vet, you can nominate yourself. And that's a little bit of a change. And we've gotten tremendous response, and the program is continuing to grow. This is the fifth year of the Quick Lane Bowl, and it's continuing to get better and better. And we're excited again for this year. A lot's going on in Detroit, so it's a great place to bring these teams and in on the year. But again, just our commitment. You mentioned the 800 locations. So there's a tremendous footprint that's out there with Quick Lane, and they're impacting a lot of communities.
That's really good. And, of course, I guess the good thing is now you've got the scholarships going, $10,000 scholarships. That's a great. And it's great that you're including the first responders.
Yeah, we wanted to expand it, and I think that's going to definitely – it's already made a tremendous impact in terms of our response and hearing back by including our first responders. And it goes a long way. These are the people that they go and they protect us. They also save lives every day. They put their lives at risk, and they put our communities and the people who live in them first. So we just want to show that give back, and Quick Lane has stepped up to the plate, as they've done for many years, to do that and respond.
Now, I know that this is going to be the 50th anniversary on December 26th, but also there's some nominations that can be submitted. What do we do on that?
Well, if they want to submit nominations, they can go to QLTrading1.com, and the one is spelled out, O-N-E. So QLTrading1.com to make that nomination. As I mentioned before, they have up until December 7th, and go nominate someone. There's a lot of people out there that are doing some great things that this would provide a tremendous opportunity for.
Well, that sounds like it's a great opportunity. And so get those nominations in by December 7th. And, of course, it'll be December 26th. We'll find out who's going to be the winners, and it's a really good cause. All right, so, Herman, with your great career in the NFL as a wide receiver, and you look at the game right now, I mean, how much would you love to be playing in this offensive type of National Football League with record-breaking years for quarterbacks, record-breaking years for touchdowns, for receivers, you name it?
The bar continues to move on the statistical side, because with the numbers that are being put up, it's going to be hard. You look at each era and every generation, it just continues to move up. The only one that I see that there hasn't been a lot of emphasis on has been the running backs. They're starting to have a resurgence, but for the most part, the passers and the receivers, and I think the softening of the middle and of the football field, there is a fearless factor that they're having to go over, and they're getting a lot of yards there. And then also you look at some of the rules on the outside with the defensive backs. It's at a disadvantage, I have to admit, to the defensive players with some of the rules that have happened, even when you look at your pass rushers. I think sacks are going to start to go up even more, but it's going to be in little spurts and pockets. You're not going to have those a lot of guys getting a lot of sacks every year, because – the fear of going in and hitting quarterbacks too late, or being a step too late on something. And you see that starting to impact the defensive pass rush.
Oh, no question about it. And of course, I think you're right in saying that the middle now, you can go in there with a you still have to have some fear, but the way that they now protect a defenseless receiver, I mean, that now allows more little guys, some of the smaller receivers, to go across the middle where before you wouldn't do that.
No, not at all. And you wanted typically to send a bigger guy because you knew there was going to be a collision with the safety. And we just didn't do a ton. It was a lot of more, I would say, possession-style routes versus really working the seams. On the outside, there's just a lot of hand-checking that takes place that you get away with. But you take a big-body receiver like me, it would be to my advantage to be in this league today because there's a little bit more leadway for me, but there's less for the defensive backs. There's no more mauling that takes place at the line of scrimmage. And that five-yard rule is the one I used to hate, where if you were within 5 yards on that underneath route, a linebacker could take you out. And now that's just, you can't hit a defenseless or a blindside receiver. But I used to get hit a lot going through there. So they had, like they always say, you keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And that's, of course, I know there's still guys that get knocked out. I know in a stretch of two games, Seahawk defensive backs knocked out four receivers with concussions. And again, there are no penalties on those calls. But again, you got to protect the receiver because that goes. It's also interesting, too. There seems to be more of your body type of receivers coming out of college, the bigger wide receivers, because I don't know, it's some guys, I guess, may have been moved to tight end back before, now are playing wide receiver.
That was one of the hits on me when I came out. It was a decision on whether or not to take me as a wide receiver because I was trending over towards size-wise, even though weight-wise I wasn't there, as a tight end. So they called me a tweener, and it was a guy between a wide receiver and a tight end. And I know there had been talks about, hey, putting more weight on me at 6'4", 6'5", maybe get me up to 230, 240 pounds, and all of a sudden you become a tight end. Now you look for that prototypical receiver to be about 6'3", that could run, that's got that body size of about 215 to 230. And you look at Mike Evans, you look at, he's a big guy, but he can make plays and use that to his advantage. Devin Funchess. They started to come in. When I came in, the biggest guy in the league, those bigger guys were considered like Michael Irvin and Chris Carter, which I was a lot bigger than they were. So I think there was you could see that myself and Jake Reed and some other guys, hey, these guys at this size could actually make a difference, and they create matchup problems that teams have to defensively either get bigger cornerbacks at the time, which were slower, or deal with the midsize or shorter corners who couldn't handle us one-on-one that created – you had to expend another player to have to cover us. So I think that trend really started to take place when they saw the success that myself and maybe a couple other guys had during that time. And then you start seeing the Randy Mosses and Terrell Owens and some of those guys that were starting to really set it on fire.
Now the quarterbacks are moving around more, and it's almost like you got more coaches that are integrating some of the college stuff and putting it in, and that's even driving the defensive backs, the linebackers, even more crazy in coverage.
Hey, that's a good point, because they are starting a new trend there where it used to be, it went from drop back passer to all of a sudden there was shotgun, then they stayed almost in that permanent shotgun to now. Their shotgun, and it's all types of options and different play calling. You start to see some of the play calling and some of the offensive sets that you see on the collegiate level starting to kind of penetrate the NFL, and they're bringing in that prototypical type quarterback that can handle that the athleticism that's needed to give you that kind of that combination of runner and thrower in the league. So we'll see how far that goes. I don't know if they'll get away from that traditional pocket passer or a traditional quarterback that can just win games with his arm. But you can definitely see teams are saying, hey, we got to figure out a way to balance it out so we don't have too many guys that are talented at the quarterback position at the collegiate level. But because they're not pure passers, we have to pass on them in the draft, and you may be leaving some talent on the board. So that is an interesting trend that I am starting to pick up on.
Yeah, and that's the fun part about it. And it's also changing defenses, too, because what you can see is the old cover two, which is still around, is kind of morphing more into a cover one, cover three, where you can have a deep safety back there, and you still have some of the principles of it. But that's kind of changing away, where it's like if you're just going to do cover two, yeah, you'll give a lot of underneath stuff and you'll get run on. But, now you have to kind of mix it up with cover one and cover three.
Yeah, they are mixing it up, and you're looking at trying to find those cornerbacks that can manage the cover one and those that can run and play a little bit more man, but also when you got that deep safety, they can come down and they can roam and they can just become part of a combination package when needed. I'm also seeing that hybrid of the true, it used to be, okay, we had some guys that were big safeties and you try and bring them down to kind of cover a little bit, and they were a little skeptical of that. But now there are dual threats that come down for the run support. But you see that cover one and the cover three is being played a little bit more, and there's a little bit more confidence on the outside. But that's opened up, again, the part with the passing attack where you can get the receivers getting in a lot of one-on-one matchups. And if you got really good guys, we saw the exposure in the league now, when you get young corners going against veteran receivers, it's just a matchup issue.
No, there's no question. And, of course, what you're getting is more longer, leaner type of cornerbacks. I mean, guys that are maybe 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", and have the 34.5-inch to 36-inch arm length where they're out there trying to at least use their hands to try to hold back the receivers.
Cornerbacks are getting bigger, and they are lean because they have to be able to run. But what I'm noticing, too, is they're actually not afraid to come up and give support. And they're getting involved with more of the tackling than what I've seen in some of the past years. So there's a different mentality. The players are getting bigger. They're strong. They're physical specimens. And the league itself is never going to be short on talented guys. It's all about the quality of the game, which, to me, I look at even the transformation of your linebackers and defensive ends to where they're becoming just – they're not overly big people as much as they are athletic, and they fly to the ball, and they're not afraid to mix it up.
Do you like the way this game is going more toward offense?
No. Believe it or not, being an offensive-minded guy, I really like defense. I love looking at fast defensive players. I like looking at the impact that they can make on a football game. In particular, I watch whether it's Minnesota's defense, looking at the Ravens and some of the schemes that they come up with. I just really like following defensive the side of the ball and just seeing the transformation that's being made there, because they set the tone and tempo. We used to think the offense was really that they're the ones who benefit from the tone and the tempo that the defense sets. And if your defense is constantly giving up points, you look at the Saints, they got a really good offense, but their defense is giving them up a lot of points. So the pressure comes on the offense to score a lot of points. But if you got a defense that can stop teams, offensively, you can have ups and downs, but you know you can always be in the football game.
Yeah, that's going to be the fascinating part of the way this season's going, because, I mean, you've got if you put the four top teams out there as, say, New Orleans, the Rams, the Patriots, and the Chiefs, all four teams have defensive difficulties. I mean, I know that the Rams and the Patriots, they give up like about 21 points a game, but you're looking at the Saints at 27, and then Kansas City is more than 25. And so, you have to be constantly pushing the pedal if you're going to be on offense, and that could be a problem down the line.
I think it will be a problem, and you point that out because they become vulnerable, in my opinion. They can end up winning their division. They could go in with first-round buys, but the exposure is going to be there if they face a team that can match them with the offensive output. But then if they have the better defense, then your offense is going to struggle, and the other team may be going against a weaker defense. So your lead is never safe, and that can't feel good for offensive units, because we know this is a game of penalties and turnovers. If those things occur, it can balance out some deficiencies that another team that may be of lesser quality can come back and easily get back into the football game. So,
and that's
what I see with a lot of these top teams going into the playoffs.
Yeah, do you think that a defensive team might be the one that will emerge in the playoffs? I mean, a team like a Minnesota that has a good enough quarterback and a Kirk Cousins, and maybe pull a few of these teams back?
I definitely believe that. I believe that not only the difficulties that they may have, but a strong defensive team, I'm going to look a little bit more heavy at them in terms of their ability to advance as the playoffs go. So when you look at the league, a lot of people are going to look at that offensive output and go, wow, these guys are lighting up. They're 30-plus points a game. But when you look at that defensive category and you see they're giving up just as many, well, that's why that offense has to continuously score. And if they have a bad game, they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah. One thing I think this is painful to maybe to bring up as a former Lion, but of course, because you saw Calvin Johnson get the start of the catch rule problems. Do you think they finally have the catch rule right?
No, you know, to a certain degree, I thought instant replay would give us the angles. We got all these different camera angles. Understanding if a player catches a football and he's going to the ground, the ball's moving, as long as his hand doesn't lose contact with it, then it's still a catch. And it, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's a lot of problems that never existed before that have come into play. And they're going to continuously look at that. I don't think they've figured it out just yet. Because it is still, I never thought I'd be sitting here talking to you about, hey, how do we define really what's a catch?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Hey, now, how
about telling us again, by December 7th, to get the nominations in with the Quick Lane and Tire Center's ability for the first responders in the military?
Yeah, they can go to qltrading1.com. And again, the one is spelled out, O-N-E. And they have until December 7th to submit those nominations. And we will announce the winners on December 26th at the Quick Lane Bowl, which is held in Detroit, Michigan, at the Ford Field. And that's another great game matchup against the ACC and the Big Ten. Our fifth year, so if you know those first responders and you know those military vets that can benefit from this one of those five $10,000 scholarships, please nominate them at qltrading1.com.
Herman Moore, thanks for joining us on Schooled with a Professor.
Thank you very much, Sean.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.